Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune, slinging satire, avoiding politics, bringing you the audio glossy magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. We are The Gargle. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. If you can't find the A-Team and what you need instead of soldiers is satirical comedians, maybe you can hire The Gargle. Our contributors to this week's edition, their headshots enshrined on the inside of the front cover alongside an anodyne chatty piece by me, the editor, are our special guest editors, Pappies. I'll let you introduce yourselves as you turn sassily to the camera, because all British male comedians look the same to me.
Hello, I'm Matthew Crosby. I am the short one in Pappies with glasses and a beard.
And I am Ben Clark. I'm the devastating good-looking one from Pappies.
On the front cover of the magazine this week, we have Kim Kardashian sexily stacking legal papers as she prepares a defense against accusations of wage theft and illegal work conditions. What could be a bad look for the billionaireess has been smoothed out with the application of editing software. The sheaf of paper has clearly been photoshopped to look more buxom and poreless. Other headlines on the front cover include butt fungus, check your cicada today, exclamation mark, and how to reschedule your holiday in Belarus, as well as UFOs, which is your favourite unlikely theory to argue in the absence of either data or the education to interpret that data if you did have access to it, which, let us repeat, you don't. Inside the satirical cartoon this week is a magic eye picture of the old lady that's a young lady, but it's the Queen and Princess Diana, and depending on how you look at it, you see each one's different point of view and how it has anything to do with Meghan Markle. That brings us to section one of this magazine, animals section now. Our first story has to do with cicada butt stuff. Matthew, you know about cicada butt stuff. What's happening with this story?
Well, this is a story about a fungus that these... Now, I was going to say cicada. Is it cicada? As in like John Cicada.
Cicada.
Who recorded Just Another Day. Just another day without you. So this would be Just Another Day Without My Butt in the...
From one butt stuff to another.
You say cicada, I say cicada. I don't know which is correct, but it probably says something about which class you come from.
Well, I mean, they're not native to the UK, so I think anything we are saying is going to be cultural appropriation. So let's just go with cicada. And this fungus... inhabits their body, and the end effect of it is it makes their butts turn white and drop off. And there's nothing less funky than a white butt. We all know that, especially one that's dropped off. But before all of that, some amazing stuff happens. They get incredibly horny. They start giving out mating signals that will for males and females. So they're basically like they want to shag anything, and it also apparently it puts them on a sort of psychedelic trip. So
man, this sounds like my weekend.
By the way, I've still got your butt. I need to give it back to you, Clark.
Oh yeah, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you.
But yeah, so it's an amazing story. But I mean, what we're sort of, you know, we're burying the lead slightly. It also kills them. But what a way to go.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, of all of the sexy ways to die, your butt falling off has got to be number one.
It's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty... It's almost to the point where I feel like if we could harness this for humans, there must be people who are like, well, you know, I'm 97. I've had a good innings. Why don't I just go? I just bow out on one big bisexual psychedelic shag fest. You know, I could do it for a really brilliant 48 hours. You know,
it's a Mix-a-Lot sequel to Big Butts, isn't it? I've got no butt, and now I can die.
One butt can only lie and one butt can only tell the truth. This reminds me, I was writing jokes about this story, and it just reminded me of when I lived in New York for a year, and I was like, more than once I was followed with the refrain of what's a butt like that doing on a white girl? And I feel like somehow these two stories are linked, but I don't know how.
What you really need is for that to have a detachable butt that they can then like emit mace or something like that. So the butt drops off, it distracts the guy's like, oh, there's the butt I was talking about, and then pff, straight in his face. That's what you need.
If only I could have said it's a horrible fungal situation that'll kill you.
What you don't realise is this white butt is symptomatic of all of my internal organs calcifying. So it gives with one hand, it takes away with the other. It would make for a more exciting ending to the movie A Bug's Life, wouldn't it?
You know,
instead of Flick, you know, getting credit for his wonderful inventions and waving farewell to the circus bugs, he goes on a 48-hour shag fest. I don't think it would have got his U certification, but still, I'd watch it.
I'd be more inclined to watch it, yeah.
Three people sent this in on Twitter. Dario Landazuri, Radomio, and Dr. Crazy Cat Lady all sent this in via our account at Hello Garglers. Our next story is about ants, ageless vampire ants. Ben Clark, you're an ageless vampire ant. Can you tell us about this story?
Thank you for noticing. Yeah, so again, this is a parasite that gets into a temenothorax ant, uh-huh. We all know and love. And it lives in them. It's this tapeworm. And what it makes, it makes them live longer, and also they kind of release a different kind of scent. So all the worker ants, it would normally be a worker ant, but all the worker ants just kind of work for them. They carry them around, they look after them, and they kind of stay in this youthful state, and they actually like outlive their normal other work ants by like three times the amount.
Yeah, there's a character in Star Trek that does that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dax. Never mind, don't worry about it.
Here's the thing, Alice, we just look like nerds. We've just got the look and the voices of nerds, but unfortunately, you can talk to us about your Doctor Who's or your Harry Potter's. We don't know. We've got no clue.
You just look like a nerd, but it's actually a horrible fungal infection.
Yeah, I've got to go. My butt's just dropped off.
All the bigger guys can carry us around and pamper us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's that they get treated like kings, you know.
Yeah.
It reminded me of when my brothers and I go back for Christmas and we just like lie on the sofa and my mum is working like really, really hard to make sure Christmas is wonderful.
That's so true.
And bringing us all these, well, you know, she's having to work double time in order for us to have the Christmas we want, which is to be total lazy bastards.
And you're just reverting back to your younger self.
Exactly, yeah. I take on a youthful glow because I'm just, you know, lying on the sofa eating tiramisu.
And in other horrible animal parasite news, now we have a chicken kissing story. I'm going to open this to the floor. Which of you is most passionate about chicken kissing?
Absolutely me. As you all know, I'm completely foul. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
Come on, just a peck, just a peck.
Just a peck.
Follow it up.
So, yes, in America, they have warned people not to kiss your chicken because of a salmonella outbreak. So do not kiss or kind of snuggle if that's something people do with their chickens, because you can get salmonella off the
So you've got to go straight to the shagging. But where's the romance in that? Come
it's
on.
True.
This is such it's an odd true. Story to me, because it's one of those things that I don't think one would do unless it had been suggested to you that you shouldn't.
And now you've got the tickle, haven't you, Alice? Now you're thinking, oh, next time I'm walking past a coop, you've been kicked out of the co-op for that reason, haven't you?
It's like when you do a corporate gig and they say, just don't make jokes about X.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, that's all you want to do. And you don't even have a joke, but then you write that joke and then it's on the tip of your tongue the whole gig. But it's apparently because a lot of millennials have bought chickens during the lockdowns around the world, during the coronavirus, because of a sort of a desire for companionship slash prepper for the apocalypse situation.
Wow.
And then, of course, these are people who are equipped with Instagram and therefore feel obliged to display extravagantly their affection for their chickens. It's not just an exploitative food source that they have a relationship with this chicken. And it's now they're having to warn people.
Don't get off with your chickens.
Oh, mate.
Where do you stand, Alice, on the... Do you have any pets?
I do not have any pets.
Where do you stand on the kissing your pets, you know, your domesticated pets? Because I have a little cat, Cosmo, and I've definitely kissed Cosmo. I mean, it's fine. Cosmo's an indoor cat. You know, I know where she's been. She's not going out. You know, she's certainly not getting off with any chickens.
But cats do kind of get off with parts of themselves, though, don't they?
They do lick their own butts. Yes. Yeah, you make a very good point.
But then again, so do you. So I mean, it's.
I think I'd be better off pecking
a
chicken.
Six of one and half a dozen of the other.
I get the feeling though that like a cat's tongue is self-cleansing. You know,
keep telling yourself
I'm sure that's
that,
wrong. Mate. I'm sure that's wrong. Anyway, I'm not getting off with it with tongues, but you know, the cat's tongue is self-cleansing because she's, you know, right. If for example you rubbed, right, say for example you had a piece of toilet paper and you rubbed it on your butt, you wouldn't then go, well, this is good for my armpits as well, would you?
No.
But the cat is doing the butt, but it's also doing the paws. It's also doing, you know, it's licking its paws and doing the face as well. So. It must
See,
be
I feel
all right.
There's a hierarchy of licking things and touching things, you know, sort of top down. So I feel like it's not dirty for your cat to lick you, but it is dirty for you to lick your cat.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Okay, all right, I'll stop licking. I'll stop licking my cat.
And I say this as someone who's had to make this very decision where my brother's ex-girlfriend hit on me. And so, and it was too haunted for me.
Wait.
She was too haunted.
Wait, she was a cat? Your brother's ex-girlfriend was a cat and you almost got off with your brother. I never expected the story was going to go this turn. Now I know you brought this up.
Well, this is the thing. I didn't. For me, I didn't because there was too much
you drew the
ghost.
Line.
I drew the line. It's like you wouldn't use a secondhand dildo. Most likely of all household appliances to be haunted.
That's true. There's too much. Even with, you know, even if you put a prophylactic over the top of it, it's the memories, isn't it? It's the memories. It's not you can never scrub off the memories.
They say an elephant never forgets. That was sent in by Josh Clasco at Josh Clasco on Twitter. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you need someone to take you in hand and secretary your life, you procrastinating f-head? Try the Mariah Poplin's robot assistant. Halfway between a Siri strapped to a Roomba and the interfering spirit of a long-dead Victorian nanny, the Mariah Poplin's robot assistant uses decommissioned Russian military software to track your motivation, follow-through, task-orientedness, and diligence, and then will optimize your productivity through a series of helpful hacks and specifically targeted electric shocks, as well as arcane Victorian punishments delivered with a combination of ruthless brutality and song. Crunch down a dry spoonful of granulated sugar as a reward, or as a punishment, a spoonful of castor oil so you shit yourself uncontrollably while you go to bed without supper as a group of orphans outside your window present bombastic polka tunes in the key of C. The Mariah Poplin's Robot Assistant, now available online. And if you order today, your Mariah Poplin's robot assistant will come with dirty bonus chimney dick. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the only thing that'll wash down a spoonful of anything. Half a glass of water. Half a glass of water. It won't reorganize your life or teach you the value of family, but it will wash down that spoonful of f***ing sugar. What a nightmare. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by posters that say something about your personality, but maybe not what you think they say. Whether it's that one of two young women making out in their underwear, a Tarantino film, that Beatles Abbey Road cover art shot, or a parody of that Beatles Abbey Road cover art shot, try and unwittingly sadly succeed in expressing yourself through the medium of a poster today. Available now from all unlicensed retailers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vaccine lottery section now. Ohio is offering a lottery vaccine. Matthew, have you got opinions about this?
Well, I'm a bit disappointed. So that it's basically, it's the second, because a lot of people went for the first vaccine. That was really, really popular. But that's the thing with sequels. Never quite as popular, are they? Harder to get people into the hospitals to get vaxxed, into the clinics. So people aren't going for the second vax. So if you've had your first vax and you go for your second one, and you're within the age bracket, then you can win $1 million if you live in Ohio. And I can't get behind this story because I've had my second one already, because I'm an old man. It's a $5 million packet you can win from. Five people are going to win. It's very kind of very Willy Wonka golden ticket kind of thing. But only one. It's only got 1 million people to actually enter.
If only it were the Willy Wonka golden ticket, though, and you could go in and get jabbed and then watch other people suffer from the consequences of their own arrogance or stupidity.
Well, if you win, you get to meet Bill Gates and he shows you the little microchip he's putting in your body. That's why they can't show it to you. But yeah, I feel like they could have just given everyone a fiver. I reckon that would have worked just as well, right? Say maths. If you're going to get a million people taking it up, just say everyone gets a fiver. Yeah, I'd do that. Pay for a drink on the way home.
Yeah.
Would work, right?
Little bonus. It doesn't need to be $1 million.
Yeah. Or give 5,000 people 5 grand or 5G. Wait. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a sec. 5G. Have you been vaxxed, Clarky? I don't even think I've asked you. Have you been vaxxed?
I haven't actually, no. I've got my appointments.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Really excited.
It's great. I got mine so early that I went along and it was literally me and octogenarians. There was some sort of, I was apparently in cohort 6 and I was trying to work out what, you know, how I managed to get into that elite group of cohort 6. I don't know what it is. I've never not met.
You just look a bit weak.
They just see me wheezing around Beckenham and going, oh God, he's not got long, has he, poor old codger?
He looks a bit geek, I think.
He must be vulnerable in some way. The problem is that in a very small case of vaccinations, there is the side effect of you getting a really hot butt and then dying of a fungal infection.
That's it. My butt's, I mean, I've now been 2 weeks since I had my second vax and my butt is intact. It's slowly sliding down my legs, but that's just age. That's got nothing to do with it. That's just life, baby. That's just gravity.
Well, that brings us to our review section. Both of our guests have brought in things to review. Ben Clark, what have you brought in to review?
I have brought in a coffee that I had yesterday. I was on my way to a job. I stopped in on a service station and went to one of those drive-in coffee places.
Ooh. What was that? Ooh, you've got a driving license.
I know. I'm kind of fancy.
Someone's got a car.
Someone's got a Ford Fiesta.
I don't know why, but that wasn't even a sarcastic reaction. I was like, I think it's because it's been so long since I've done any of that kind of stuff. It just seems really enticing. It seems really exciting.
Yeah, well, that was it. I was quite excited by it.
To me, it seems like a really admirable act of self-care to just go and get yourself a coffee.
Like, well, thank you.
Good on you.
Thanks.
It's all about wellness. That's what you've got to know about Clark. He's all about wellness. If he needs a little pick-me-up, he will get in his car, runs on petrol, he'll drive for miles unnecessarily, miles away from the kettle he has in his house, miles away, and he'll get himself a coffee. He's a good bloke.
It's all about number one, man. You just got to look after yourself and no one else. But when I got there, I asked for a large coffee, and I had no idea just the size the coffee would be. It was absolutely vast. So it's still going, or is that absolutely vending? It's still on the go, and I gotta say, it was terrible.
So,
coffee shouldn't be that big.
So wait, you bought it yesterday and you're still, you haven't just...
It's still on the go, yeah. It is still on the go.
What are you doing? Just like reheating it in the microwave or just sipping away on this, like... I guess after a while it becomes iced coffee, doesn't it?
At what point on the linear time graph did you assess this not very good coffee? Because if it was like day two, I feel like that's understandable and not really... The coffee isn't necessarily to blame.
It's not like a fine wine. It doesn't get better with age. You know, you can't put it in your cellar and come back in 3 years' time and go, oh yeah, this was a good vintage.
Oh no, does it not? I thought it's like buying Bitcoin or something. It's just gonna, yeah, it's gonna go up in value.
Oh, I have some news about Bitcoin that you are not gonna want to hear.
Oh dear. Yeah, well, if anyone wants to buy some coffee, I've still got a couple of litres of the stuff left, I think.
Good luck with the eBay sale.
Thanks, man.
So out of five, how many stars would you rank this?
Two.
Two stars out of five. And yet, this is the testament to the fortitude of the British spirit that you're still going with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, one star for yesterday's coffee and one star for today's. And who knows, if it makes it onto a third day, it could go up.
Matthew, what have you brought in to review?
I've actually got it here. I've realised I've balanced my laptop on it, but it is it's this. Now I'll show you this. Now this
such
is
a
something
visual like, medium. The podcast.
I'll talk you through it for the listener at home. Now this I'm holding up here a William Morris print, which is. You know, like a kind of gorgeous foliage and leaves and flowers all interlocking here. It's got a wooden frame around it, but underneath it, it's got the same print, but it's a beanbag, right?
What?
That's right. You can eat your dinner off a William Morris print. Now, basically, here's the thing. We recently moved house, and my wife and I have basically realised that we've got no need for a dining table. We just don't bother with a dining table. We never eat. We always eat in front of the telly. You know, that's the couple. That's the kind of couple we are.
This feels like the beginning of three conversations where you end up living in a caravan.
As long as I've got my William Morris print dinner tray, then I'll be very happy in that caravan. But yeah, basically, I bought this. And when they arrived, it was only when we unwrapped them that my wife and I realised... we might have given up on life. I know it's a William Morris print, so it's quite fancy. But basically, it is, you know, this, I think it might have actually, this might have been the reason I got the vax so early. Someone watched me through my window eating dinner. He went, oh my God, look at him. He's eating fish cakes and mashed potato off a William Morris print dinner tray.
I mean, that's upset me more than the tray. There's mash in a fish cake, mate. You're double mashing.
Oh, no, listen, if you're having, the fish cake I was eating was a sweet potato mash inside that. So it's a double, mash situation, but two very distinct veg, I would say. You can have two types of mash.
I don't know if that's two of your five a day though, mate.
No. I also had mashed carrots and mashed swedes as well. I should tell you, I can't eat solid foods.
The thing about multiple mashes, if you put them close enough to one another, they become one mash.
Well, this is... They'd all got in the NutriBullet first, Alice. They'd all got in the NutriBullet. I puree everything, and then I...
I've got a William Morris straw next.
I've got a William Morris drip, is what I've got. And we just sit there, we pop on a box set, and it just drips through, and by 9 p.m, the hunger's gone.
I feel like this is such a perfect fusion of giving up and trying too hard. This is like diamond encrusted elasticated waist tracksuit pants, you know, like this.
The upmarket pensioner, absolutely, yeah, yeah, really. I think you're right. I could see this as being something that what's Kim Kardashian's mum called? You know, she's got that sort of, I'm a pensioner, but I'm quite groovy. It's that kind of thing. That's me.
Kris Jenner,
that's it. Of course, Kris Jenner. I see myself as Beckham's answer to Kris Jenner, in only that respect, in that I've also given up a bit. But you know what? We've got one each. Charlie's one is not a William Morris print. It's a lovely kind of peacock feather print. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Five stars.
Well, that is the end of our review section. Now it's time for section three of this magazine, High School Photo Prudes section now. This, of course, is a story in America. About 80 students in a Florida high school have had their photos edited to be more modest. Ben Clark, you're showing a bit of cleavage right now. How do you feel about
this? Thank you for
this?
Noticing. Well, obviously it's mad. And also they have pointed out that the swim team, the male swim team, have got photos in the same album of them just in, you know, the kind of the tiny, we call them budgie smugglers. And that's fine. They've not been edited in any way. I should point out the photos of the girls that they've edited, they're not in any way like plunging necklines or anything.
No, one's wearing like the mankini or anything like that.
No.
It's not like, you know, it's not like someone's just showed up to school with you know, like braces and nothing else.
Yeah, it's just they're very ordinary photographs in the first place. So it's absolutely mad behaviour, I'd say.
Yeah, not to straw man the people doing this, but it feels like the people doing this are the people who make fun of trigger warnings.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When in fact, this is exactly what they needed. In the front of the yearbook, they should have gone trigger warning, some mild cleavage. Parental guidance recommended.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what they're doing. But that would be so outrageous. Imagine putting that on the front. By the way, if you are reading this, watch out. Some of our students are absolute stonkers. That would be. You just imagine that. The school would be shut down. It would make your head spin. So, you know,
look, everything's R-rated if you're filthy enough minded.
Yeah, exactly.
True. As I prove often on this podcast.
Yeah. It reminded me of my school photographs, when we had our school photographs. Now, they didn't do... It was an all-boys school, but they did actually have our photos taken in sixth form after our swimming lesson. They allowed us to get dressed after it, but everybody in their photo had wet hair. It was mad. I don't know why they scheduled it that way. They hadn't gone, well, we'll just do the photos first and you'll move the swimming lesson into when it was. So, I've always had long hair. I had long hair at school as well. So it just looks it was really, really straggly. The only person who managed to get around it was Tim Jenner. You went to my school.
But, Chris Jenner's oldest child.
Yeah, weirdly, yeah, one of the Kardashians. But his hair couldn't get wet.
What?
I beg your pardon?
This is amazing. He'd go, watch this.
Was he
he'd
a
go
duck?
Under the, he'd go under, no, I don't know what it was. He'd go don't under the water. He would, he'd come up out of the water and that it would just, the water would run off the hair and it would be bone dry immediately after.
That's the natural oils.
Yeah, like that sand you can buy that, you know, that kids play with. You put it in the water and it does stuff, and then you bring it out and it's dry. It was like that.
This sounds like a Prince Andrew excuse or something.
No, because I saw it with my own eyes. I was in the swimming lesson with him. He was the only one who had a good photograph because he could duck his head under, bring it up, dry hair.
That's hydrophobic. I don't know what
the government should have been testing him. They should have been using, you know, he could have been working for North Face or something. They could have been weaving jackets out of his pews.
Oh, no.
Are you sure Tim Jenner wasn't the ghost of like a long abandoned Victorian schoolboy?
He was pale, but he just spent a lot of time on his computer. I don't think he was actually a ghost. No, I think he was. I mean, I've touched his hair, and it was dry as a bone.
That's mad.
I wonder what he's up to now. If he's listening, Tim,
he's
if you're listening,
he's
get in
100%
touch.
Still at that school pretending to be a school child. He's clearly a ghost. Let's not pretend he's not a ghost.
He's a magical goblin who's what, like, he wished for superpowers, but just didn't really think it through when he made his wish. What do you want your wish to be? Well, I'd love it for my hair to never get wet. Well, all right, if you want that. You could have had laser beams that killed people, but no, all right, fine, great. Alakazam.
That's all the time we have for Section 3. Now it's time for our final section in this glossy magazine. This is organised crime news. This is one of my favourite kinds of story. A set of Long Island rabbis. A gang of Long Island rabbis? A collective of Long
Island... All I know is Long Island rabbi is my favourite cocktail.
A bunch of Long Island rabbis have been accused of using mafia-like tactics in a battle over turf regarding kosher food. Matthew, you're part of a gang. Can you tell me more about this kosher love story?
So, basically, there are two factions who will come to your restaurant and determine whether or not you're keeping good kosher conditions. Which now I'm not of the Jewish persuasion. I'm not a kosher man myself, so I don't know all of the rules, but I know there's certainly, it's definitely about keeping certain foods apart. It's also about keeping certain cutlery apart. You know, that all has to be separated. So anyway, someone will come round and check, and they'll give you the, you know, I guess it's a bit, it's all, I imagine it's a little bit like the food hygiene thing. They can give you the approval on the outside of the restaurant that says, this is a kosher place as approved by our particular company.
Right.
Now, there's one that has been doing it for ages, and there's a new one that's come along that is apparently a little bit cheaper, but every bit as thorough. And so loads of people, you know, That's the nature of capitalism, isn't it? Those people have gone to the cheaper guys, but the slightly more expensive guys, they've decided to sort of take, like you say, a mafia approach and start intimidating the people who aren't using them. And I don't know what that entails. It can't. I mean, surely a horse's head is not kosher. You can't be leaving that in people's. You can't be leaving that in people's beds.
Well, also, the other thing is, it's not a great marketing tactic to get people to buy from you. I feel like, or maybe it is the inevitable end of all advertising, is for someone to come and say, buy my product or else.
Yeah, shop at McDonald's or I'll beat the f*** out of you.
Well, I mean, at the moment, it's all just psychological abuse. Buy our product or you'll be as uncool as you are, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
that really true. Works in me, actually.
Now you say that, advertising is absolutely abuse, isn't it?
Yeah,
look
deeply
at you,
menacing.
You're miserable, you're unhappy, your life is a total mess. If you had this, you know, Gillette razor.
Shave away all your problems.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe it's because of the uniforms and everything. I could imagine rabbis being quite intimidating. I could imagine that.
Mm.
When I was raised Catholic, and the closest we ever came to this was they announced that they were going to open shops on Good Friday, the day they crucified our Lord, and myself and all the people from the church, I didn't organize it, you know, but I was only a little kid, but we all marched down the high street with like banners to say don't shop.
Then you needed a snack, didn't you?
We walked, you know, Pret a Manger was right there. Come on. Not made of stone. We were all hopped up on the body of Christ. We had our bellies full of that. But yeah, we just seemed, I mean, we didn't seem threatening. We just seemed a little bit sad. You know, we were missing out on all the great bargains, all the great Easter weekend bargains. But
See, I mean, the Catholic Church has a fine tradition of standover tactics, and that incense ball thing looks like a mace about to happen.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It does from high mass. Yeah, yeah. If you spun that round your head and clocked someone at the top of it, they'd know about it. They really would.
Yeah, also, it is like it's a bit like an Acme bomb, isn't it?
It's got kind of like techniques.
You just throw it at someone and.
I mean, you could absolutely offend a lot of people by having different vestment offs in the way that they have, you know, superheroes versus superheroes, who'd win in a fight. You think about like the full vestments, whatever, the kosherest vestments that you have, who's going to beat whom if they've got all the equipment?
Well, yeah, rabbis versus Catholics. I mean, that's a movie that needs to be made in a sort of Alien versus Predator style way.
You don't know where they're going to put the show father. And then you have like, you know, those Mortal Kombat kill lines of like, show far, show good.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And the end would be like the end of Scarface, but instead of all the cocaine, it's just kosher salt on the table in front of him.
No offense to any religion. Our next story in the organized crime news section has to do with cheese. Ben Clark. You're a mature blue.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it is. It's mold.
It's also the rating on your shows.
It certainly is. Yeah, so a drug dealer has been caught due to his love of cheese. This is quite extraordinary. He was dealing drugs online and the police were trying to find him.
I mean, how does this work? He ate too much cheese, got stuck in the toilet.
Yeah. He just, you know, when you have a certain amount, you just kind of enter a vegetative state and they're just able to catch you.
Didn't that happen to Kim Jong-un? Didn't he eat so much Emmental that he broke both his ankles? Is this...
I think you're talking about Genghis Khan, maybe? And his son's wedding feast? Ate so much cheese that he exploded?
He ate so much... Is that how Genghis Khan died? He ate so much cheese he exploded?
Not so much cheese. I think he ate so much stuff that he had an incident.
It's like Tycho Brahe, but the whole of him. Yeah. Didn't Kim Jong-un, he was like a big fan of eating like Emmental cheese, and he used to wear that because he wears those Cuban heels, doesn't he? And they put on a bit of extra timber, hopped into his Cuban heels, and they flopped over and broke both his ankles.
What?
We've been sent an article here. Look, Kim Jong is so fat from eating cheese he broke his ankles. I told you, October 2014. This is straight out of today's papers.
He's like our Brian Harvey.
I feel this is one of those stories in which correlation and causation have definitely been mixed up. You might as well say he's so unstable from eating cheese and being a maniac that he's hurt his ankle.
Well, listen, the metro.co.uk does not lie.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. That's true. They wouldn't print an article just for clickbait. All right, this is not how it works. Unbridled daily binge on Emmental imported from Switzerland believed to be responsible for the dictator's rapid weight gain. Yeah, you see. And then he's got two fractured ankles under the strain of expanding waistline.
Oh my!
There we go.
Goodness. Wow.
So, all right, I added the bit about his Cuban heels, but apart from that...
This has completely undermined everything that I've ever been told about calcium intake, strengthening your bones.
Yeah,
that's very true. It's an unstoppable force versus an immovable object, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like that thing with, you know, like people would always say, well, you can actually die from a potassium overdose if you eat too many bananas. It's the literal definition of too much of a good thing. Everybody know, you know, no one's debating that an all cheese diet is good for you, but that's not on trial. But you do have to draw the line at some point, you know. You do have to make sure that for every baby bell you're eating, you're having a little stroll around the block at the very least. Not the block of cheese, the block of your house. But yeah, so it's you know, it's done for poor old Kim Jong, and it's done for our drug dealing chum here.
Well, yes. What actually happened with our drug dealing friend was he posted a photo online of him holding the cheese, and the police were able to identify his fingerprints from the photo. That's amazing.
How hard was he holding that cheese for the fingerprints to be visible? He's really gripping that cheese.
Well, you've got to test it to see if it's right, don't you?
This has all of the hallmarks of they absolutely didn't do that. They like tracked his phone, but that's not admissible in court, and so they've just drawn fingerprints on his fingers with texter.
Alice, let's be a little bit life of pie about this. Come on, let's enjoy the jolly falsehood rather than the reality is, if they could find out what pictures he was sending, they could just find out who was sending them. No, because he was using this thing called EncroChat.
EncroChat.
Which I hadn't heard of, which is,
yeah,
it's one of those things, like, you know, it's a bit like, I mean, I don't want to paint with too broad a brushstroke, but it's one of those things where, like, if you get run off of all the other things, or it's a bit too, what you're doing is a bit too shaky to be on all the other, you know, if you're too shaky even for Parler, then you go over to EncroChat. You know, if Telegraph's getting a bit, oh, you know, they're onto me.
It's the dark web for people who aren't tech savvy enough to use the dark web.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But that's going to be my new thing now. It's going to be asking people if they're on EncroChat. This is end a meeting. This has been really great. You know, any of you guys on EncroChat?
I've done so many podcasts over the last year that I've started ending real life conversations by saying, "And where can people find you online?"
Well, hopefully they can't.
Yeah, you can't find us. We're all on EncroChat. But I mean, yeah. So they took a photo. He took a photo of, and he claims to be a cheese lover. I don't want to be a snob, but it was only M&S own brand Stilton.
I mean, that's.
Come on.
Okay. Well, that's.
What's his next photo? A Dairy Lee Dunker. Come on.
that's already a few degrees above my cheese. I'm Tesco's own brand at best.
You've actually got a dangerous cheese addiction, aren't you? You were the one guy who was getting cheese off this guy. You weren't going. He was going, look, come if you want, man, some harder stuff, we've got a consignment of Gruyere coming in, all right? Listen, don't tell anyone about it. Just might be a bit of Manchego. If you can handle it, all right? Just a little bit. Don't do it all right? You know your drug habit has escalated when you have to find a lump of Stilton just to get a usable vein.
That's tough. That, I mean, that's lovely stuff.
Thanks, mate.
And that brings us to the end of the show. We're flipping through the ad section at the back. Here is an ad for Clear Skin. Skin so clear you can see right through it. Now, normally I would do you one at a time, but do you want to mutually share your details or your advertisements for yourself? Or
yeah, you can find us on EncroChat.
Just type in Cheese Lovers into EncroChat and it will pop up. Now, you can find us on all the usual places. It's Pappy's Tweet on Twitter or Pappy's Comedy on Instagram. We have a podcast called Pappy's Flatshare, which is three podcasts in one. It's our panel show, which is called Flatshare Slamdown. It's our little sort of conversationally chat thing, which is called House Meeting, and Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, where we solve people's flatshare based problems. They're all available from Pappy's Flatshare if you go to wherever you get your podcast, Acast or whatever.
Brilliant. There's an ad here for, well, I'm not sure what. It's a picture of an androgynous lounging youth so beautifully languid you can't tell whether they're recommending the handbag they're holding, the shoes they're wearing, or euthanasia. And that brings us to the end of the show. The Gallagher Podcast is brought to you by The Bugle Podcast and Alice Fraser. The executive producer of the podcast is Chris Skinner. Our brilliant editor is Ped Hunter. You can find me online at alliterative on Instagram and Twitter. That's alliterative. Or patreon.com/AliceFraser for all my stand-up specials, podcasts, and my weekly Tea with Alice salon chats. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.